This is Express FM.
Supported by City of Portsmouth College. Find your brilliance.
Wait for the whistle to blow. And we are underway on Express FM.
For the fans, by the fans.
The atmosphere around Fratton at the moment is great, and that's spilled over into the training ground, and the boys are very, very positive.
Giving you a voice.
Everyone has sort of a smile on their face. It's going really well, and it's up to us to keep that, even in a tough moment.
This is the Football Hour.
And it's a good one.
With Jake Smith.
After the highs of promotion and the incredible celebrations that followed, the dust is beginning to settle and some emotional calls are having to be made. It's been a difficult week at Portsmouth Football Club as the retained list has been publicly announced. As many as 14 players from this season's title-winning squad will be moving on and plying their trades elsewhere next season. Tonight we'll get all of the reaction to that list as well as much more, including a chat with BBC Radio Solent's Andy Moon, who recalls how it felt to commentate on Pompey's promotion-winning game at Barnsley.
Some of the lads that have been released have played such a huge part. That's a really tough thing to take. So certainly the lads will handle it with professionalism, and we'd like to think on our side we did the same.
And although the men's season is over, there remains one more game for Pompey's women. They take on London Bees on Sunday, and we caught up with striker Ella Humphrey on the Common last weekend.
I feel like I should be the one in with all the fans, so to be here, going up on stage to celebrate with everyone is just fantastic.
Hear what the Blue striker had to say in full by sticking with us right the way through until 7 this evening. Within that time, but also get the thoughts of head coach Jay Sadler after he and his side received their league trophy last Sunday.
Yeah, it's incredible. It means so much to so many people. None more than the Pompey fans out here in celebration, and also the Pompey fans within the group.
And from one gaffer to another, we'll get the lowdown from John Messino himself on the difficult meetings he has had to call this week.
Having won the league and having played such a huge part, and some of the lads that have been released have played such a huge part, that's a really tough thing to take. So certainly the lads will handle it with professionalism, and we'd like to think on our side we did the same.
Four loan players return to their parent clubs, one player signs a new deal, two are offered new contracts, and two remain in negotiations after their respective extensions were not exercised by PFC. 10 players to be released this summer, including a man who has made more appearances for Pompey in the 21st century than anybody else. We'll be discussing the club's retained list, reviewing the overall League One standings, and looking ahead to the start of the EFL playoffs, which fortunately Pompey don't have to worry about this year. You're listening to Express FM, and this is the Football Hour.
The Football Hour.
Driven by Stagecoach across the South. Download the app now from the App Store or Google Play to view up-to-date timetable information and to prepay for your journey.
Express FM.
Yes, thank you for joining us here on the show, where tonight we've got a star-studded lineup to carry you through with reaction and analysis of the latest news coming up to Portsmouth Football Club, as well as a look at the wider footballing world too, with the EFL playoffs commencing tonight and the final day of the Championship tomorrow. There's plenty to discuss this evening, and it all involves Pompey. We want to hear from you tonight, Blues fans, as well. Get in touch via the Express FM app. You can download it for free via your Android or Apple device. You can send us a note or even a voice message on there as well. Text your name and message, starting with the word Express to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com. Include at ExpressFM on X, or head on over to facebook.com/PompeyLive. Okay, now, back in around about August time, I made a deal with Tom Chappell, Mr. 4-0 written all over it himself, that every time Pompey won by that scoreline, Tom was to come on the very next show to provide reaction. Unfortunately, we haven't had many 4-0s this season. In fact, the final count comes to a grand total of one. That was away at Leyton Orient, all the way back in August, on the very same day we made the agreement. Since then,
none.
Quite a few close calls. A 4-0 home to Blackpool, that although was a defeat.
Yeah.
Doesn't count.
No.
A 3-0 win at Northampton. Close.
Yeah, it was close.
3-0 win at Shrewsbury.
That should have been 4, actually, Northampton.
Should have been 4.
Yeah.
3-0 win at Shrewsbury.
Yeah. Could have been
4-1 win at home to Northampton.
Yeah, we threw a few away, didn't we? Reading and Northampton.
And Reading. No more 4-0s. Nonetheless, I'm pleased to say, but he does still join us for this evening's show, Tom Chappell.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good.
It's lovely to see you. It's congratulations great on your 400th show.
That's kind of a 4-0, isn't it?
Yeah.
4-0 with an extra nil.
What a service to this fantastic station you are, Jake.
Thank you. 400 hostings. It's not bad, is it?
Can't believe it. You don't look a day over one host. I don't know if that's the compliment to pay.
It feels like it's been 400. Tom, great to have you. I mean, you've been on the show a lot of times over the last few years, and we've been talking about various different Pompey campaigns. Fortunately, this one's ended in promotion.
Yeah, I think we're all sat in the studio, and many people listening, I'm sure, feeling in a very similar boat, where we've covered, supported, followed this football club for many, many years. Yourself, 400 shows, and how many have you had in the Championship as Pompey as a Championship club? One or two now?
Zero.
Was this the first one? No, it was in...
Since
the 16th,
sorry,
against Barnsley?
Yeah,
couple.
Quite a few, yeah.
But the rest of the 300 and however many, 90, whatever...
Yeah.
It's been painful. It's been slow. It's been a slog. It's been horrendous at times. I've had some good times, had some really bad times. I'm so glad that we're all here and we can take all summer to enjoy it.
Can indeed. Pepe Lacey is also with us on the Football Hour tonight. Pepe,
there he is.
We haven't made any deals like that, but this is your fourth appearance in the space of just 4.5 weeks.
Yep.
We can't shake you off, can we?
I mean, you're inviting me back,
James. Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm not... Can I come on the show, please, Jake? I've been asked to come on. I know the listeners don't want to hear my voice, but I'm here.
Yes, so, they do.
I do.
Oh, cheers.
I'm one listener.
Come on.
Two listeners in the room.
Come on,
there we
stop
go.
It.
Pepe, the celebrations on Southsea Common last Sunday were set up to really celebrate the men's and the women's success this season. Were you there?
I was there, yes.
Enjoy it?
Made a day of it.
That's a good answer,
yes,
isn't it?
Hey, yes, it was good. It was good to celebrate with both teams. I think a lot of people viewed or aired their views on social media about it. I thought it was a good day. It didn't rain, and I got to see two trophy lifts. So, and then just went to the pub afterwards. So I thought it was a good day, Jake.
Can't say fair from that, can you?
I saw you on stage giving it the big one. So
yeah, we were very fortunate before the teams came out to get on the stage, have a quick selfie with the crowd. That was very nice.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I was so jealous.
Not bad. Not bad.
It's good.
Our good friend and colleague from BBC Radio Solent, Andy Moon, he led the proceedings on the stage at Southsea Common last Sunday. And before the celebrations began, our Matt Drabble caught up with the commentator to get his thoughts on the season and also find out what his favourite moments were.
Andy Moon, first of all, Andy, how are you?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Busy few weeks, but it's all been good fun.
Not often you find yourself on this side of the mic, but a pleasure to have you speaking to us today. And first of all, describe the scene to us. Is that something you do for a living?
Yeah, it's building very nicely. You can see the flags really waving in the wind. At least the rain stopped and the sun's coming out, so I think it's going to be a pretty big crowd here this afternoon.
Let's talk this season then. You've described many a great sporting moment in your time, but that Barnsley game at home on that Tuesday night, that must be right up there for you in your commentary career.
Oh yeah, it's very, very special. Had Pompey gone up that night because Bolton had failed to win, it would have just felt all a bit flat. You kind of couldn't written the ending to get an equaliser and then to get a winner, and then the scenes of celebration and jubilation. You just remember that forever. Really, really special.
We had some special moments. We had some great moments. We also had some interesting ones as well. A fan on the pitch at Port Vale, a fox on the pitch in a home game. What are some of the more unusual moments you had to talk through this season, and how do you handle those as a commentator?
Just kind of say what you see. The fox on the pitch was bizarre because Derby were on a counter-attack and the referee stopped it, and I kind of completely sympathise with them being a little bit frustrated about that, but you just have to kind of go with what you see, and luckily it was a season where far more happy, they'll outweigh the bizarre and the bad moments.
And what won't you miss about League One from a professional perspective? Is there anything you're happy to be leaving in the rear view? I'm not sure what you're allowed to say here, but talk to us as politically as you can about what you won't miss about this league.
Well, I won't miss not going to Fleetwood. I feel like I've been there far too many times. Look, it's always going to be nicer going to the bigger, better stadiums that have got more and more fans in. And I think it'd be great for Pompey fans that they should get more away fans in each week. So, yeah, a few better stadiums will certainly be something to look forward to.
And the million-dollar question, your favourite goal to describe all season? There's been some brilliant ones, but what is one that stands out in your memory?
I'm going to take two. I'm going to have Paddy Lane away at Barnsley.
Loose ball in Pompey's half is played forward. Bishop helps it on and Lane's through on goal. It's 1-1. Paddy Lane against the goalkeeper. Lane scores! What a brilliant finish! Lifting it into the top corner, and you can see what that means to him. He was away, there was no defender anywhere near him. Barnsley 0, Portsmouth 2.
Just because Pompey had just scored and they went up the other end and scored again, and suddenly you thought, this is a team that can never win away against the big sides, and they're 2-0 up against Barnsley in 20 minutes. And I think the Yenge one against Peterborough and that whole day, because that was the day, right up to that moment, you thought, there's still work to do. Once Pompey beat Peterborough, there was still work to do, but you kind of thought, yeah, this is happening, and it did.
It did indeed, Andy Moon. He has been a big voice on the Pompey commentary for a number of years now, Tom. I'm sure we all remember legendary moments such as Marquess, he's won it.
Was there one in the FA Cup as well?
Andre Gray.
Yeah, that's one of my favourites.
God. Yes, the FA Cup at Norwich, the late winner against Exeter in the EFL Trophy. The roars when the Blues score late winner after late winner. That's happened a lot this season, Tom. Great commentator, isn't he?
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, we're very lucky to have him. And actually, when you totally legitimately hear about some of the ways in which Pompey fans back home, and I've been lucky enough to be at all the away games this season, so I haven't had the misfortune of having to listen to alternative commentaries from various different away stadiums, I think the Lincoln one's a good example from the other weekend, that even under the guise of the BBC, they're particularly sort of one-sided towards a team. So we're very lucky to have Andy and Guy. We've got a great commentary team there, and one of the many great things about this football club this season, it's not just the team on the pitch, but the fans and the people that work for and with the football club delivering it. It's just been great. And an all-round collective has really contributed to what's been a really remarkable season. Mm.
A very remarkable season indeed. We've spoken a lot about Pompey, Pepe. Let's really review how the League One season finished overall. Of course, the two automatic teams, Portsmouth and Derby County, 97 and 92 points respectively. In the playoff positions, Bolton in third, Peterborough fourth, Oxford in fifth, Barnsley in sixth. The playoffs start tonight. Bolton Wanderers travel to Barnsley, and then tomorrow Peterborough United travel to Oxford United. Any surprises for you in that top six? Were you expecting anybody else to finish in the top two? Maybe we were not as confident in Pompey's abilities at the start of the season.
When you look back at it, I think the top two was very dead set. It's been very dead set for the last month or two. Bolton throughout the season have had their chances. They've had their times when they had games in hand, and everyone was saying, yeah, Bolton will easy win the league or easy finish top two. And then as the season panned out, and as the fixtures started to pile up for Bolton, obviously they played nice football like we've all heard about on social media. They played lovely football, but they didn't quite translate those performances into results. And that's what Pompey and Derby did. They grinded out results, they grinded out wins, and ultimately that's why Pompey and Derby finished in the top two. And I don't think anyone can have really many complaints about that. Bolton had their chances, but finished 5 points behind Derby, and then 10 points behind us. And then looking into the top six altogether, Barnsley have been a mainstay in the top six throughout the season, but have fallen off rapidly the last month or so, but just managed to hang on. I would have loved to have seen Lincoln in there. I think they've played the best football, or one of the best football, in the second half of the season, but they just fell short, which our mate Jake, he's a Lincoln fan.
Jake Tong.
Yeah. Yep. Gutted for him. Gutted for my bet as well. But I think the top, you can't really have many complaints on the top six. I think they're the best six teams this season, and it'd be interesting to see what happens in the playoffs now, Jake.
And what is apparent, Tom, is that for many months we rattled on about wanting points on the board as opposed to games in hand. Pompey have been in that position before where we've had games in hand chasing the automatic promotion spaces or even the top six, and it's not proved fruitful at the end. Bolton supporters, particularly on social media, which I know is it's a difficult platform to be able to judge many supporters, but a lot of them sort of parroting on about, we've got games in hand, we've got three games in hand, you go, we've got a better run in. Doesn't always matter, does it?
No, and I think we, as Pompey fans, could have been particularly confident this season, given our and people talking about how difficult our run-in was, and Bolton fans revelling in the fact that we still had so many top six sides still to play. I would actually point towards the fact that
our record against top six sides this season has been exemplary, and I don't think there's a loss against a top six side in there whatsoever, is there, home or away? So
there's not a loss against the top seven.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and you know, you consider that as something that is quite a remarkable achievement. So for it's even shout out to Callum Fowler on TikTok, who looked at our run in and went, ah, Pompey aren't getting top two with that running. And I was just kind of sat there like, don't underestimate how... And it's come a bit of a cliche, hasn't it? Don't underestimate this group and the character and the resolve they have. But particularly in the big games, and maybe that's been a stick to beat Pompey with over the course of the last few years. And we were talking earlier on about trying to get out of this division. One of the main problems we've had is not being able to compete against the top sides and the so-called big boys. And I think we very much sort of, you know, to keep an unbeaten away streak at the likes of going to Bolton Stadium or going to Oakwell or going to Pride Park and staying unbeaten and winning at some of those places as well, that's, I think, has been a difference maker. And it's a, I don't know if you saw the Forgotten Pompey Goals tweet, Jake, of the song that the, you know, the guys sat in the cab of the lorry, the dancing in the moonlight, and one of the badges is on the Pompey and Derby saying they're all in Vegas and the players are celebrating while Bolton still have to play in the playoffs. Maybe laugh.
Pompey actually beaten on away from home all the way down to, well, 15th. Bristol Rovers and 15th, of course, beat Pompey on Boxing Day at the Memorial Stadium. So, yeah, incredible record on the road, we know, this season.
Yeah.
Pepe Barnsley somehow remained in the top six and got into the playoffs this season. Of course, we all expected them to be there. No wins in their last six, four defeats in their last six as well. Somehow scraped in. And you do kind of feel sorry for Lincoln. Before that defeat to Pompey, they'd only lost once since New Year's Day.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I alluded to just a minute ago, Lincoln, other than Pompey, have pretty much been the best team in the league since the turn of the year. I think if you were to ask any League One fan, they'd say Pompey and Lincoln throughout the second half of the season. And you can't really argue with that, really. And Lincoln had a slow start. They obviously changed manager and then it just clicked for them. It suddenly worked under Mark Skubala.
Hey, Skubala.
Skubala. And they just played phenomenal football. Obviously, Rico Hackett, like we mentioned in last week's show, he's been amazing when he's fit this season. And it's unlucky because I think if Lincoln had got in there, I think they would have put any team they played, they would have given them a run for their money. Definitely don't think they would have been there to make up the numbers. I think they would have been... They've looked good against teams above them this season. And who knows, you could have seen a Lincoln Bolton and then Lincoln could have scraped it. And then suddenly they're in the playoff final. So it's one of those things. It's the joys of the playoffs. I think Barnsley, they've not been great, have they?
No.
I think they finished the season with form that deserved to be in the relegation zone.
Sack of a manager one game before the end of the season.
It really isn't going well at Oakwell, but you never know. They've got an interim manager for the playoffs. I've seen some stuff on social media, so they've got an interim manager for the playoffs, and who knows, they might turn it around, but it doesn't look anything other than a Bolton win against Barnsley.
Relegated down to League Two, Tom. Carlisle United, that's been confirmed for quite some time, really. Port Vale, Fleetwood and Cheltenham. Just very quickly, any surprises there?
No, I thought Burton would go down. That was just a general feel from me. It was probably one of, and I know we only won the game 2-1, we say only, every win's great, but I feel like that was probably one of the most abject away performances I've seen a side put on when Burton came down to Fratton Park. And yes, they scored, but other than that, I thought they offered pretty much next to nothing that day. I'm gutted. I've got a very close mate of mine who's a Fleetwood fan who is sort of looking forward to League Two football next season, but he loves League One, and they've been a League One mainstay for quite some time.
10 years.
Yeah, exactly. 10 years in League One. And they've now left.
They've now left.
Yeah, the wrong way, perhaps. Cheltenham, I think they didn't give themselves the best of starts, or they didn't give themselves any really fighting chance in the beginning. And they had do you remember they had that run where they just didn't score or didn't pick up any points, and they nearly...
In the first 11 games was against us.
Yeah.
And that was, at the time, the most Pompey thing ever.
And that was a 0-0, and we had about seven refs that day, didn't we? Yeah. So that was a tough one. But, yeah, I mean, you look back at that was this season. That feels like ages ago, doesn't it? But yeah, no real surprises from me. Obviously, condolences and disappointments and are feeling in disappointments, because it's never nice to be relegated, and we've been relegated to League 2 before ourselves. But yeah, I'm sure those sides will fight back and hopefully head back to League 1 sometime soon.
Right, after the break, we're going to hear from Blues head coach John Messina, who talks about the decision to not offer new contracts to Joe Rafferty and Sean Raggett.
They're senior pros and they know that this happens in football, unfortunately. It's not a nice thing. It's not a nice thing for me to do. It's not a nice thing for them to hear. I think that those two in particular can count themselves really unlucky to not be offered new contracts.
Stay tuned here on Express FM for more from the Pompey Gaffer, as well as more too from Tom and Pepe, as we move on to discuss the club's retained list and what's going on across the EFL this weekend.
For the fans, by the fans, The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
The new Stagecoach Flexi 5, a bus ticket that works when you do, for those who travel often, but not every day. These new flexible bus tickets are available as Flexi 5, bundles of 5-day riders for the price of 4, and Flexi 10, bundles of 10-day riders for the price of 7. Flexi tickets are now available to download via the Stagecoach Bus app. Download Flexi 5 or Flexi 10 from Apple App Store or Google Play today. For more information, visit stagecoachbus.com.
For the fans, by the fans, The Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back to The Football Hour here on Portsmouth's Express FM. You join myself, Jake Smith, in the company tonight of Tom Chappell and Pepe Lacey to go through all things Portsmouth Football Club with you right the way up until 7 o'clock, which is when we welcome Steve Randall back with an open arms. He'll be here to kickstart the weekend with school days until 9. If you have missed any of the show or any previous edition of The Football Hour, you can download and replay this and any previous episode wherever you get your podcast from. The Express FM app has all of our episodes and is probably the easiest way to listen back. Otherwise, you can find us on the Apple app and Google podcast apps as well, or even Spotify. Tom, we have seen in the news actually just this afternoon, transfer speculation is starting to hot up, and one name that has been floated about is attacking midfielder Anthony Evans from Bristol Rovers.
Yes.
We're going to come and talk about Pompey's retain list, of course, in a moment, so we're just going to solely talk about these rumours for a second. Anthony Evans, what do you think about him?
Yes, I like him. I think in terms of a box-to-box midfielder, you're not going to get much better at this level, and that means the Championship level now, because we can talk in Championship terms, and I think it's probably a reflection of where Pompey's transfer business is perhaps heading, is the kind of names that you're getting. Anthony Evans is one. I saw Karamoko Dembele yesterday as a name. Jamal Lowe loosely tied. I don't think there's any particular yeah.
I mean, you never know.
There's nothing firm in that, and I would say that there'll be other Championship clubs that will be interested that might be able to offer slightly higher wages than we would for Jamal. And then even a return for perhaps even the likes of Alex Robertson and Abu Kamara, you know, never say never, all that kind of thing, and two players that have had unbelievable experiences in terms of training and sort of development. So yeah, I'm liking the rumours at the moment. I'm liking the names that are kind of out there. Of course, the summer is very young. Messina said himself that nothing really gets going for the next couple of weeks, and everyone kind of takes stock and sees where they are, etc. So, yeah, no, I don't think there's too much to get excited about just yet, but the level and the calibre of names is certainly something to keep an eye on, Jake.
Mm. And having that sort of lure of being a Championship club now, Pepe, I'm sure that's going to make this transfer window just as exciting as it has been over the last couple of seasons. It's always an exciting period, but now that we can potentially attract even more quality players, and I don't know, like Tom said, Abu Kamara, he's got to be on top of Pompey's wish list, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And Abu Kamara, Alex Robertson, two of the names that are very high upon every Pompey's fan's wish list, to be honest. Obviously, the law of Pompey in the League One was big already. Mm-hmm. Like, big club wanting to achieve promotion, wanting to get out of the league. We're come on a project with us. We're now in the Championship, so we're now looking at it as it's okay, the project has got through step one.
Yeah.
We're now looking to, one, stay in the league, and two, we want you to be here for the long term where we push on. So this, I think a lot of Pompey fans have accepted this is going to be very much a transition season. For me personally, I think if we finish a point above the relegation zone, I'm happy with it. As long as we stay in the Championship next season, because we know how tough it is, then we can push on, build the squads, assemble the squads early doors this summer, ready for next season, and then go from there, really. And if we find a squad and push on well, then so be it. But I think next season it will be a transition one, and then the lure of a team that have now staying in the Championship, yep. That's even greater next season. So obviously there was a story that's come out this afternoon, it was reported a month ago as well, that Man City's scout Brad Hull yeah. is believed to be joining Pompey now. So obviously at Man City, so a lot of Pompey fans speculating that ties with Alex Robertson. Who knows, still very, very early doors, but certainly, Jake, like you alluded to, Pompey being in the Championship, that'll increase the stock to want to come to Pompey.
Now, on Wednesday evening, PFC announced the club's retained list following the conclusion of their 2023-24 season. Within this announcement came some pretty big news, as clearly some difficult and emotional conversations had been exchanged between the club and some of its title-winning heroes since the end of the campaign. Four players returned to their parent clubs following the end of their loan deals: Miles Peart-Harris to Brentford, Tino Angerin back to Chelsea, Alex Robertson returning to Manchester City, and Abu Kamara to Norwich. Of the Blues' 15 out-of-contract players, only one has so far signed a new deal with the club. Young goalkeeper Toby Stewart put pen to paper on a two-year contract after spending the season on loan at Gosport Borough, who, by the way, were harshly eliminated from the Southern League Premier Division South playoff semi-finals in the week after their opponent Salisbury came from behind in the game to win 2-1, with the winning goal coming from a penalty spot after a foul was committed outside of the box. So commiserations to Gosport, but great to see Toby Stewart rewarded after such a great season. Elsewhere, two players have been offered new contracts but have yet to sign. Connor Ogilvie and Marlon Pack have been approached to extend their stays at Fratton Park, but as of yet, nothing has been announced with regard to a deal being agreed. Meanwhile, Zach Swanson and Joe Morrell, we understand, had not had their 12-month contract extension option taken up by the club. However, both remain in negotiation with PFC to find the best possible solution for all parties. And 10, yes, 10 players whose contracts will expire this summer have not been given new deals, which means that all 10 will be released and will not be playing in Pompey Blue next season. These 10 are Matt Macy, Ryan Schofield, Liam Vincent, Harry Jewett-White, Hadji Minoga, Josh Dockerill, Josh Martin, Lee Evans, Joe Rafferty and Sean Raggett. We're going to hear now from the man who, you know, we quite know would have been at the heart of these conversations, John Bassinio. George Wedlake went down to the training ground earlier in the week to catch up with the boss, who spoke about the player departures, but began first of all by talking about the celebrations on Southsea Common on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, they were great. It was brilliant to have that as, the culmination of the celebrations this season. And we got to celebrate up at Lincoln, but only with 900 fans. It was a really great day. I really enjoyed that. And then to come back down to Southsea, almost in my back garden, was really special for me and I think for everyone at the football club. So I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, both men's and women's sides, you know, winning the league and going up to their respective championships. You don't see that all too often, do you, really?
No, you certainly don't see that very often. And it all coincided, obviously, with the 125th anniversary celebrations going on this year. So, yeah, Brooklyn did really nicely. I remember, you know, coming into the football club and knowing that, you know, early April was going to be the time when the 125 mark hits back in 2023. And so to have a year that we've had has been really, really special. And obviously to culminate in the success we've had has been brilliant.
And the players, how have they been enjoying the celebrations as well? Because they look like they were on Sunday. What else have they got planned over the summer?
Yeah, I think the players obviously enjoyed themselves after Barnsley, and that probably took its toll at Wigan at home. And to be fair to them, got themselves sorted over the week. And, you know, you don't put a performance in like they did against Lincoln without making sure that they're ultra-professional about that. So the lads are going away tomorrow. I think there's this much-vaunted trip over to Vegas, and I'm sure they'll enjoy it and they'll have a great time. And that's, you know, that is the order of the day, to be honest. And back next week and getting ready for, you know, another tough pre-season.
And it's quite a bittersweet occasion because obviously, you know, the celebrations have been huge all over the city. Everybody's visibly beaming. But now it comes to the point where you're looking at contracts and next season and you've had to say goodbye to a couple of fan favourites, really, in Sean Raggett and Joe Rafferty. How are they holding up at the moment? How are they feeling about everything?
Yeah, they're senior pros and they know that this happens in football, unfortunately. It's not a nice thing. It's not a nice thing for me to do. It's not a nice thing for them to hear. I think that those two in particular can count themselves really unlucky to not be offered new contracts, particularly with the number one in, with Rags and the service he's given to the club, and number two, the way that both of them have played this year. And actually, you know, the 18 months since I've been in, both have been excellent. They've started a huge amount of games since I've been here. They've been part of a side that's won the league, and it's really, really difficult, I think. We just have to separate the sentiment and what players deserve from you know, the decisions that we actually make for the best interest of the football club next year.
Where does Conor Ogilvie stand at the moment?
Oh, we've offered Conor a new deal. So that is with Conor, his agent, and the football club. Thankfully, I don't get involved in any of the finer details of the deal. So I'm you know, delighted to be able to do that because I think Conor thoroughly deserves it and I think he can make the step up.
And Marlon Pack?
Same with Marlon. So offered Marlon a new deal. Again, he's brilliant this season with the amount of accolades that he's got, fully deserved. And you know, we obviously hope that he signs it. Again, it will be one that's with you know, with the football club and Marlon. And you know, really, I think exciting times. I think we're already talking about plans for next season. So hopefully, we can get that over the line.
A couple of January signings as well: Matt Macy and Lee Evans. Where do they stand?
We haven't offered contracts to either of them. I think it's probably important for Matt to go and nail down a spot as a first team goalkeeper somewhere next season, and we rate Matt really, really highly. That's obviously why we brought him in the football club, brought him into the football club to make sure that we had sort of top end cover in the event that anything happened to Will. So really happy that Matt came in and provided that. And Lee Evans has done a fantastic job since he's come in. He's contributed to the success that we've had on the pitch and off the pitch as well. And I think, yeah, you know, it's time to you know, shake hands and for Lee to move on. He's still got plenty left in his career, and hopefully he'll find something in the summer.
And how about Zach Swanson and Joe Morrell?
Both in similar boats. We haven't taken the option up on either of them, but we are hopefully in discussions in terms of new contracts for the pair of them. Obviously, that leaves the club slightly more exposed than it would do if we'd just taken their options, because they're free to talk to other football clubs, which we understand. But what we want to do is try and structure deals that work for both the club and the players. Obviously, if that doesn't happen, there's no problem. We shake hands and move on, and we just got to make sure that we try and figure out a best possible solution for both of them.
Yeah, some very difficult conversations had and are likely still being had for John Messina and Rich Hughes as the club's retained list is announced. And Pepe, let's start off with the two players that have been offered new contracts by the club, Conor Ogilvie and Marlon Pack. Does it come as much of a surprise to you, Pepe, that those two have been asked to stay?
No. I think the one man you wanted in the team next year, I think we alluded to this last week, Jake, was the one man you want in your team next year is Marlon Pack. Absolute leader. His presence in the dressing room this season has just been second to none. Obviously been handed the captain's armband. He did an interview a couple of weeks ago, I can't remember, I think it was with the PFA or something like that, and how honoured he was to be given the captain's armband. He was a bit hurt he wasn't given it when he first signed, but since he's had the armband last year, he's just been a revelation, and been most end of season awards went to him. Seen him in a lot of team of the seasons in League One this year, and there's no surprise really. And then Pompey will hope they can get a few more years out of him, because I think having his experience in a team that will probably be quite youthful next year, it'll be so important. And then obviously the amount of appearances he's had in the Championship, they'd be so needed. And then Conor Ogilvie, been phenomenal the last 3 years at Pompey, so no surprises there either.
Is there a slight concern, Tom, that nothing has been finalised yet in terms of those new contracts being signed?
I think you can kind of put it in a similar boat to Morrell and Swanson, whereby these contracts have been offered and the players still need to be happy and still need to accept them. So nothing's done with Marlon Pack and Conor Ogilvie, just like the door's not shut on Morrell and Swanson. So I think, and I said that, I think me and Pepe have had this conversation, that I would worry without all four of those in the Championship, that's quite a core of a team and a squad that's got us this far, and four of our, I would say, four of our most prized players, which is probably why they're either in negotiation or, you know, kind of new contracts offered. So yeah, I think it's important that the negotiations are properly sorted out by the club, and I'm sure everything will be done in order to, and I think Messina is really, and to be fair to him, for, and I'm sorry to talk about Messina when we're talking about the players, but for a head coach who has never really had to do anything like this before, to speak so eloquently about the way in which things are going to work, to mention that both parties need to be happy, all that kind of thing, you can tell that he's the guy that's been delivering these tough calls, as you mentioned when you introduced the chat that we had, that George had with him earlier on. But you can tell just by the way he talks that he is the kind of man that you'd want to be delivering this news, and he's the man that you'd want to be at the forefront of these negotiations for new contracts. I know the majority of it goes with the club, but you know what I mean, in terms of a face and a head coach. So yeah, I hope things have gone about in the proper way. I'm sure they will be, and I really hope that we, in an ideal world, we see all four of them in Pompey shirts in the Championship next season.
And obviously we can't speculate, as we don't know the details as to why maybe these contracts haven't been signed, whether it's being held up on the club side, the player side, or both. But as a fan, Pepe, would you like to see Marlon Pack captain Pompey in the Championship next season?
Oh, absolutely. I think any fan, anyone, anywhere will want Marlon Pack. Marlon Pack really captain the team. He's the player you want. It's what I've alluded to. He's the player you want. And having Joe Morrell next to him as well, it just fits, doesn't it? It's Marlon Pack, Joe Morrell. We've spoken for the last 2 years with them here that they're that's the midfield partnership you want in the Championship. It's League One ready, but it's ready to go to the next level. And obviously there's a few questions asked about Joe Morrell's discipline. That's fair enough, because his discipline record speaks for itself.
Not fantastic, but, yeah.
Yep. I've done however many interviews with Joe Morrell when I was at the news about his discipline, and he said it'll get better, and it never did. But those two are the two players you really want in the Championship next year. Championship experience, obviously Joe Morrell, Welsh international as well, so international experience, and they're the two players out of the four. I think those are the two that Pompey really do need to keep next season.
And in regards to Conor Ogilvie, Tom, certainly a consistent player, deserves the opportunity to play in the Championship.
Very much so, yeah. Consistency is a really key word of Conor Ogilvie, and it's that there's the it's not really sort of like a superstitious thing, because it's fact, but he went for, what was it, over 400 days or a whole year of league games without actually losing when he's
still Wigan at home.
When he's been in a Pompey side. So, that, you know, those things don't happen by accident, do they? That tells you that you've got a real player there. You know, we've spoken about Morrell and Pack there, and Ogilvie's really important. I think Swanson's a really key and integral part of Pompey moving forward. And I actually remember saying to various people over the course of the season that Joe Rafferty's Pompey's right back for this season, but I could see Zach Swanson as Pompey's right back for the future. So that's very much something that I'd be interested in exploring, and I hope that we can get a deal done for all four of them.
10 players leaving then, and that of course could be more dependent on how the contract talks go with the other four. Conor Ogilvie and Marlon Pack have been offered new deals. Zach Swanson, Joe Morrell, both in talks with the club over their futures. And one of the 10 that have so far been confirmed to be leaving is Portsmouth's longest serving player of the 21st century, a man who signed initially on loan in 2019 before making the move permanent in 2020. He's come on leaps and bounds and has over the years developed a unique relationship with the Pompey supporters, making over 200 appearances for the club and ending his time on the South Coast with a league title to his name. Defender Sean Raggett will be released at the end of his contract this summer and will play his football elsewhere next season. Oh, Wiseners, do you know what he's worth? Ooh, baby, do you know what that's worth? Ooh, heaven is a place on earth. They say in heaven, love comes first. We'll make heaven our place on earth. Ooh, heaven is a place on earth. I only had positive things to say about Pompey. I mean, it's obviously a massive football club, isn't it? So, I mean, it doesn't even need much selling, I don't think, but yeah, he just, when I got talking to him, I thought this is definitely where I want to come play my football.
Best to deliver. Decent ball into a danger area. Raggett has scored! Sean Raggett! His first Portsmouth goal! A wonderful delivery. It bounced in the box and Raggett could not miss from 3 yards out. He headed it in. He couldn't believe it. I'm not sure his teammates can believe it. I don't think the 2,000 fans to the left can believe it. It's Tranmere nil, Portsmouth 1, Sean Raggett. Raggett the target, knocks it down and into the back of the net. Locked it into the area, it's glanced on and it's going to go in the back of the net, but is it offside? No, the flag stays down and I think Sean Raggett's going to claim the goal. He must have been offside. He was past the goalkeeper, but the flag stays down. Nicolaisen's header was saved and Sean Raggett was there to force it in on the goal line, and Portsmouth have taken the lead as Ipswich 2, Portsmouth 3.
Do you know what's better? Jake?
Wait, let me do it.
Can I just use a little line I prepared in the game?
Oh, go on in.
Jake Smith, prepare your derriere.
Oh, dear. Right, Pompey fans, if you're out of the loop, I tweeted it about 5-10 minutes ago that off air, we heard a conversation between Jake and Ryan where Jake stated that if Sean Raggett somehow scores the winner for the game, Jake will get Sean Raggett's face tattooed on a body part I will not repeat because it's not 9 o'clock yet. Jake Smith, who scored the winner?
Well, it was offside.
Who scored the winner?
The goal was clearly offside. I don't know what the linesman hasn't seen,
Jake,
there, but
there's no VAR.
It should be two or it should be a penalty.
There's no VAR in the FA Cup.
Tries to shoot for Raggett and he does hit one. What a goal! Far post. Raggett's header is into the back of the net. You do not leave Sean Raggett all alone from a corner. He'll punish you every time.
It was always my goal coming here when I initially signed on loan. I remember Joe Gallen used to say to me, I was on loan, but I wasn't really a loan player because I sort of got the club straight away. I loved it here and just wanted so badly to get promoted.
I'm not even going to keep you for too long. Just tell us what your plans are for tonight.
Oh, I'm going to go have a quiet one at home. Behind the birth of my daughter, that's the biggest moment of my life for sure.
And just finally, what does the summer look like for Sean Raggett and celebrating this fantastic campaign?
The summer, I haven't really given it too much thought, you know, just a
nice quiet one at home again?
Probably actually will be a quiet one now.
Raggett for England! Raggett for England! Raggett for England!
Tom, I'm not crying, you are.
You told me the other day, I
was a bit teary at Lincoln. Yeah. Great montage, Jake, if
Thank
that was you to put that together. That's
it
fantastic.
Was mid-show as well.
Very good.
Pepe, a sad week with announcements of those 10 released, in particular when it comes to that man, Sean Raggett.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think every Pompey fan was in their mind, they were like, it would be the perfect send-off to see Sean Raggett win promotion. And it doesn't come as a surprise that he has been let go, but 5 years, most appearances in the 21st century. And I was lucky enough to interview him a few times, and he's such a good character to have in the dressing room, on and off the pitch, and just a top bloke. And I hope he stays in League One next year because he deserves it.
Mm. And whilst we, you know, welcome absolutely anyone's opinion on the show here, Tom, I don't think there's much dispute, but Sean Raggett has been excellent this season, stepping up, being an absolute rock at the back in place of Regan Poole, Tom McIntyre, who both picked up injuries throughout the season.
Yeah, and it's always been the case, isn't it, that and Raggett has proved and shown everyone that if you remain resilient and if you keep working on what you're working on and you keep focused on yourself, he just kept coming back, didn't he? He kept coming back and he performed and he stepped up and he did it. And he's one of the players that you point at and go, in a squad that's had to show character and resolve, and I've mentioned it already, he's one of those that's really led by example. And Pepe's mentioned being lucky enough to interview him. He came down to the Chichester Supporters Club for an evening this season. I was lucky enough to be sat next to him for an hour and we were chatting and he was getting questions and he was genuinely, I echo what Pepe just said, he is a fantastic human being, and as Pepe said, I really hope that he gets a good club.
Do you think he maybe deserved a shot at the Championship next season, Pepe? Or I know you said this is a good way to end.
It's a tough question.
I would have loved to have seen him stay in the Championship, but realistically, I just don't see him getting in front of Tom McIntyre, Regan Poole, Connor Shotnessy. And then you've also got Riley Towle, who's still one for the future at Pompey and will really want to be knocking on the doors next year. So,
and likely more income.
Yeah.
Knocking on the doors.
Knocking on the doors. I see what you did there. But no, I would have.
Was that not intentional?
It actually wasn't intentional. I promise. But no, I would have loved to see Sean Raggett playing in the Championship next year for Pompey. And it's a shame he doesn't, because I think if we got promoted a couple of years ago, he definitely would have been. But it's just football, and I do genuinely hope he gets top-end League One club next year.
Gotta be Doris.
It's gotta be Doris.
You've done that before.
I have done that before.
Let's not have this again.
On to another big player that won't be part of Pompey's plans next season, Tom. Ed Sheeran's biggest fan, Joe Rafferty. Surprised to see him go?
Also, Lego's biggest fan.
Yeah, that's the Ed Sheeran thing. Lego's house. It's the Ed Sheeran song.
Trying to make it not so obvious. But anyway, Tom.
I'm going to stay quiet.
If you look far off in the distance, you can steal that still going over Pepe's head.
Yeah, and I was actually there for the moment where he revealed that to the crowd, and so were you. And it was and there was something else that followed as well, which we wrote of Peter. Joe Rafferty's been fantastic, and very similar, I think, to Sean Raggett, where we're all shocked. Maybe we weren't massively surprised. Rafferty, we have got to remember, Reece said this to me during the week, that and when the list came out, that Rafferty, remember, he came down from the Championship to play for Pompey. So to have a couple of seasons in League One and then be demanded of him in the Championship again, I think maybe might have been one step too far.
And what we do know for sure, Pepe, is that wherever Sean Raggett or Joe Rafferty end up next season, their new teams will be acquiring two very good, very experienced and pretty reliable players.
Absolutely. And you look at the teams coming up, Wrexham will want to spend some money, Stockport will want to spend some money, and having two players that of that calibre in the free agent market, they'd be snapped up quicker than you can say snapped up. They'd be in League One next year without a doubt, and I just hope they're up there because they do genuinely deserve it. They don't deserve to be floating around the bottom end of League One. They deserve to be in a big club that can fight for promotion again next year.
Matt Macy, we know, is a very decent goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. Tom, we didn't quite get to see him put on a Pompey shirt during this second stint with the club. He was only signed in January on a short-term deal to the end of season to provide cover for Will Norris, who, to be fair, was just not being stopped, was he? Unfortunate for Matt Macy, but he's too good to be sitting on Pompey's bench week in, week out.
Yeah, he'll be, again, top-end League One club, I would imagine, next season. And kind of, we got close, didn't we? I don't know if you ever looked down at the touchline where Will Norris went down injured, but Matt Macy's getting his kit off, getting ready, and he never quite made it on the pitch, did he? So I don't know whether that was maybe a tactic to look back on to try and sort of stall some time, perhaps. I don't know.
Well, potentially John Messina was up at an hour and to make his final call of the season, bringing on a goalkeeper for no reason.
Well, yeah, exactly. That could have been a bizarre, couldn't it? But yeah, best of luck to Matt in the future. He's another one that came down to the supporters club, and we had a great chat with him. He's actually a really nice guy. He's massive, really nice guy, and well, got to be for a goalkeeper, ain't you? Yeah, I wish him all the best.
And finally, Pepe, Lee Evans, another player who feels like he's only just walked through the door. He only signed on the 1st of March, but made quite the impact since coming in. He added a fourth League One promotion to his CV by coming in for a few months. Wherever he goes, where we're getting a very decent centre mid who you probably guarantee promotion with.
Yeah, just I'll go back to talking about Wrexham and Stockport, and it absolutely honks of a move to Wrexham. But you alluded to his fourth League One medal, and I'd go back to the behind the scenes montage the club put out, and all the players joking about him putting the four up next to the trophy. And he was a good player. Didn't really see much of him, but again, I expect to see him next year in League One, and with more fitness in the bank, I'm sure it'd be up there next year.
Mike in Havant's got in touch saying, so sad to see Sean Raggett leaving. Still remember him running into the North Stand, and what a professional he's been this season. Sure, every Pompey fan would like to thank him and wish him well for the future. Yep, I'm sure we can very much echo those thoughts there. Tom, Pepe, thank you very much for the time being. We'll be bringing those two back in shortly as we look ahead to the start of the League One playoffs and catch up with all things Pompey women. Hannah Horton will be with us after the break after an emotional summary of her feelings after she and her team celebrated their league success in front of thousands on the Common last weekend.
I don't think I can put that into words. From every single player to the staff, to the board, to everybody who supported us, this is what dreams are made of. And for, like I said, the support and everything that we've got, and all the players, all the hard work, the dedication, I can't be prouder of every single one of them, and I'm so blessed to share this experience with them.
We'll be hearing soon from the Blues captain, as well as forward Ella Humphrey and head coach Jay Sadler from last Sunday's Champions on the Common event, as we look ahead to this weekend's final game of the season at Wesley Park and start to wrap up tonight's conversation. Stick with us here on Express FM for the conclusion of the Football Hour.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
The world is your oyster. With many bus routes offering services late into the evening, from 7 p.m. every day, you can take advantage of a Night Rider ticket, taking you from A to B and everywhere in between. Simply purchase your Night Rider ticket on the bus or using the Stagecoach app to get unlimited travel anywhere on the whole of the Stagecoach South. So whether you're out with your mates, catching the latest blockbuster, on a late shift, or just enjoying late night bus rides, visit stagecoachbus.com for timetable and ticket information.
For the fans, by the fans, the Football Hour with Jake Smith on Express FM.
Hello and welcome along for the final time this evening to the Football Hour here on Portsmouth Express FM. You can hear us twice a week, every week on a Monday and a Friday night between 6 and 7. We talk you through all the latest from inside Pompey, who, by the way, in case you didn't realise, are League One champions. John Bassino's side will be in the Championship from August after winning promotion with two games to spare. From the men's game now to the women's. This Sunday afternoon, Pompey take on rock bottom London Bees at Wesley Park for the final game of their FA Women's National League Southern Premier Division season. The Blues are already up and have had their promotion to the Barclays Championship confirmed. They were 3-2 victors at Cheltenham just under a fortnight ago, and thanks to a hat-trick from homegrown hero Ella Humphrey. I caught up with Ella alongside captain Hannah Horton shortly before the team were presented with the league trophy for the very first time on stage at Southsea Common last Sunday.
Guys, what a fantastic day this is.
Oh, it's absolutely incredible to think that so many people are here to celebrate the club's success, and we get to do it as a men's and a women's team, both double promotion into the Championship. What a day to be a part of.
And it doesn't get better than this as a Pompey fan, Ella, come on.
No, I feel like I should be the one in with all the fans, so to be here, going up on stage to celebrate with everyone is just fantastic. But yeah, it's going to be such an amazing day, and we can't wait to celebrate with the men as well. It's been unreal.
And it's been a great season, Ella, but you kind of rounded it off last weekend at Cheltenham with a hat-trick. That was brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, one way to top it off, definitely. Obviously, it was a hard game, but to get a hat-trick kind of topped it off for the season. Obviously, we've still got one lot more game to go, so hopefully we can get a good result there. But yeah, I'll take a hat-trick any day of the week.
And hopefully those tuning in can hear us talking, because the music is very, very loud. But Hannah, just finally, as captain of this magnificent team, how proud do you feel right now?
Oh, honestly, I don't think I can put that into words. From every single player to the staff, to the board, to everybody who supported us, this is what dreams are made of. And for, like I said, the support and everything that we've got, and all the players, all the hard work, the dedication, I can't be prouder of every single one of them, and I'm so blessed to share this experience with them.
Girls, go and join your team and enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you.
And after that trophy lift, we were able to catch up with head coach Jay Sadler too.
We're now joined by Pompey Women's head coach Jay Sadler. Jay, you've just been on the stage. You've just seen your team lift the trophy. That is a moment I'm sure you've been waiting a very long time to be able to see.
Yeah, I thought we were going to go through at one stage, bouncing around as champions. It's incredible. It means so much to so many people. None more than the Pompey fans out here in celebration, and also the Pompey fans within the group. We've got a fair few of them that Lee's speaking now about how much of a dream it is. And yeah, it's just such a surreal moment, and I don't think it's going to sink in for a long, long time to come.
That there was Kim Stenning. You can really see the excitement come through, Kim, but all the players as well. They're going to be partying long tonight, I'm sure.
Yeah, and we're just really happy to be a part of a team that treat the women correctly. There's an equity about the group. There's a real value towards these as human beings and footballers. And when you've got that, it's a special moment. Every single one of the fans here and every one of the staff behind, they value the women's team massively. And that's been one of the main kind of recipes to our success this season.
And of course, champions of the FA Women's National League Southern Premier Division. But yesterday we saw that the Tier 2 application to actually be promoted to the Championship was accepted. So first of all, congratulations. Second of all, that's a big, big moment too.
Yeah, massive moment. Obviously, to lift the trophy means a lot. It's taken me personally 8 years to try and navigate through this league and win it. But the ultimate goal is to be playing in the Championship, similar to the men, playing in a full-time professional league, changing a lot of these, making dreams kind of a reality. And it's fantastic that the football club, standing here next to obviously Michael Eisner, who's obviously invested a lot financially and emotionally to enable this to become a reality. And it's such an amazing moment for us.
A reminder then that the Pompey women embark on their final game of the season this coming Sunday, the 5th of May at Wesley Park. Already relegated and without a league win all season, London Bees are the opponents. A win for the Blues would not only see them end the campaign in style, but also set a new league record for points. Jay Sadler's side currently have 58 on the board after 19 wins, one draw and one defeat, and the points record in that division is 60. So a victory on Sunday would put Pompey on 61, a new record. Not only that, but the Blues will also be presented again with the league trophy to hold aloft in front of their home supporters. And Pompey fans, if you haven't had the opportunity to have your photo taken with not only the Women's Trophy, but also the League One Trophy too. Then head down to Havant on Sunday. Both will be there for you to have your photos taken with them. So get down to Wesley Park, support the girls and help them see off the National League Southern Premier Division in style. It's a 2 p.m. kickoff and full ticket information can be found on the Portsmouth e-ticketing website. Men's season ticket holders can get discounted entry to the game and we'll get full reaction to that match on Monday's edition of the Football Hour here on Express FM. Pompey Live returns one final time this Sunday with full coverage from Wesley Park from 1 p.m. kickoff, as I mentioned. 2 o'clock. So the EFL playoffs kickstart tonight. Bolton Wanderers travelled to Barnsley in the first leg of their semi-final with the Tykes, and tomorrow afternoon is the final day of the Championship. We will find out who is relegated and who is promoted. Well, a big thank you to everybody who tuned in to this evening's show. Big thank you to our two studio guests as well. First and foremost, Mr. 4-0 written all over it. Only one 4-0 win all the season, Tom, but thanks for coming on.
I'm sure there'll be more next season, and congratulations on 400 shows.
Thank you very much. Very optimistic to predict more 4-0s next season.
Yeah, we'll get a few.
I'm holding you to that. Pepe Lacey, thank you very much for coming onto the show. It's been a pleasure as always.
No worries. The only four I can add to that is my fourth week running here.
Exactly.
So there we go.
I don't know if you want me back, but... I'll be here.
We'll think about it. A lot to play for in the Championship tomorrow afternoon. We'll find out who joins Rotherham United in relegation down to League One. Will it be Huddersfield Town, Sheffield Wednesday, Birmingham City? We will find out. Who will be promoted to the Premier League? Looking very likely to be Ipswich alongside Leicester City. Leeds United still mathematically in with a shout. Kick off tomorrow from 12:30 to see who Pompey will be playing next season. That's it from us. Steve Randall is up next with School Days.